Bitcoin process and stochastic process in general. And the way I like, this is a very intimate lecture. I always like to give like broad pictures of what the object means instead of giving proofs and again too much details. I want to introduce this particular type of process, point process. There is now a graduate course here in stochastic geometry. That's the main object of the course, and it's I do research in that area particularly. I am a fifth year on the graduate program here. Let me start just saying, well, what's stochastic process in general? Have you taken probability courses? We're done. So what would be a good definition? We see it's just a family of random variables. Okay. And then normally what we see on the courses is that we have two kinds of stuff in general. I mean, this is very informal. But we have discrete, which is the family of random variables is countable, of xn. And we have continuous. The family is of random variables is indexed by t. And you can say t belongs to r. So there's a countable set and countable set. No, that's it. Not much more than that. Well, they live on the same probability space. All those random variables, omega, I have a filtration and a probability measure. And we're going to go through those three parts of the probability space. First one is this famous omega, who appears on every paper in probability. Start with a probability space. And it's like this space has not much on it. We don't know much about omega. We don't make any assumptions on omega. So it is kind of a weird thing of probability. We're going to get, when we define this object more formally, we're going to see this sounds a little bit weird. So we have a sigma algebra, and this is just a collection subsets of omega has the following properties. the whole omega belongs to the sigma algebra. So if A in omega belongs to the sigma algebra, A complement belongs to the sigma algebra. And the third one is that the union, if I have a countable collection of sets that live in omega, the union of An also belongs to omega, to the sigma algebra. Okay? So, are you familiar with that definition of sigma algebra? This is very similar to, not the same, but this is the same idea of a topological space, topology spaces, right? Now, this is our first element on your probability space. The second element, is the probability measure itself. It's a measure. And I'll say, well, it's just a finite measure that we normalize to 1. And it goes from the sigma algebra to 0, 1 and has two properties. First, or maybe three properties. You have the whole space equals to one. Probability that everything can happen. Everything can happen is one. Second, P of A is bigger than zero. And the third one, if I have AN, a sequence again. Now, disjoint, then the probability of the union of those events is the sum of the probability of AN. So far, very good. This is basic structure. So, what is then, I said, it's a family of random variables. And a stochastic process, and I have those two major descriptions, discrete and continuous. So, and I said this space doesn't mean much, you know, this omega, I don't care much. I mean, I don't even know if it's a metric space, for example. Who knows? What is important when we define a random variable is to know what set will be the receiver. So I'm going to have a set, a measurable space S, and normally, and I'm now going to assume that this space is complete, separable, metric, complete. Metrizable. Thank you. Metrizable.
Could you put a metric on it?
You can put a metric on it. Yes, that's complete. Separate CM. Complete. It's complete. Separate metrics. Yeah, you have a metric that separate points.
Okay.
And why we require that? We require that because on this type of space, we can construct the Borel sigma algebra on S. And I always use this kind of, it's not supposed to be beta, but it's calligraphic B, say, and then this is the smallest sigma algebra that contains all open sets. And we like very much this kind. So I start from space S, and I on this type of nice space. Come in, please. Yeah, please come in. That's okay. That's completely fine. So on this type of space, we can always construct a Borel sigma algebra. And why? Why we like very much Borel sigma algebra. This comes from measure theory. Imagine that you have a function. Oh, let me say first why from omega f to s. S is measurable if for all A belonging to the Borel of S, Y minus 1 of A belongs to F. So the pre-image of Borel sets belongs to F. And whenever I have a function like that, I call this a random variable. Okay, now. So we are good here, and I would, let me pose a side question. Why would we like to work with Borel sigma algebras? Suppose I have two Let's put an F here. This is Y. And where are Y? So remember, this is a sigma algebra, the smallest sigma algebra that contains all open sets. And I'd say, well, this F is a measurable function between those two. And what kind of function is immediately measurable if we take Borel sigma algebras?
Continuous functions.
Yes, exactly. Because f minus 1 of an open set is an open set. Yes, open. And it's sort of, this is enough to show that the function is measurable. The sigma algebra contains much more than open sets, the Borel sigma algebra, but this is enough. So that's why one of the reasons we like to work with sigma algebras, Borel sigma algebras. But as I said, we have that space that is quite unknown to us, and we have a random variable or a stochastic process that goes into some space S Borel S. Very good. So for discrete, so let's assume that those random variables, each for all n, they take values on Rd. You know, so if I pick x1, omega belongs to Rd. So Rs, well, if it were like a random variable, Rs would be Rd, and the Borel S would be the Borel Rd. So, in spring, this stochastic process would live. Because we have to decide what is S in order to define the stochastic process. So discrete, I have a countable xn that resembles if I have xn here, this is the usual notation for
a sequence.
A sequence. Right? So S would be Rd to the n. The space of sequence. And we don't need to impose that sequence converges or whatever. No. And this space is nice enough to have a Borel sigma algebra. So for the discrete stochastic process, we can think that we are picking, for a random variable, we can think that we are picking a random number or a random vector. For a discrete stochastic process, we can think we are picking a random sequence. A classical example is the random walk. 1, 2, 3, 4, and then I go up or down. I start here, go up and down with probably one, probably half, go up with probably half and down with probably minus half or whatever probability. And I'm going to have a path. Okay, come back to 0, go to 3, go to 4, so on. So those points form the sequence, a random sequence. This is just one of the realizations. I toss my coins and I see a random sequence. So this seems to be a good space to deal with discrete discrete stochastic process. How about continuous? I don't have a sequence anymore. I have XT. What would be a nice space to think about my where my stochastic process would lead? Would, as I said, this space doesn't mean any much.
Functions from R to RD.
Functions, yes, exactly. Space of functions, very good. And let's say normally we pick the space, one of the nice spaces is the space of right continuous functions. Let's say that take values on 0 to infinity d. This is a nice space that will give us also a Borel on d. And then, for example, we can use a continuous time Markov chain. It would be an example. Suppose I have three states, 0, 1, and 2. And I start at state 0. And state, I'm going to spend some exponential amount of time on that state. Let me use a color here. And when this exponential random variable triggers, I'm going to jump to one of other states, so it should be right continuous, so this will be open. It can be left continuous, I mean, there's no difference, but we have to decide which one it's going to be. Okay, and then from state 1, it can come back to state 0, and go, jump to 2. And this space also accommodates right continuous, accommodates continuous functions. So, for example, I can have a Brownian motion, which is just like the Randall walk shrink to infinitesimal. So it's just like continuous function, completely no differentiable. And then what I'm picking, it's really a random function. So there are those two ways. So this is a general statement, and we normally see the discrete and the continuous version of stochastic process. But I said, well, I'm going to talk about point processes. So, oh, and by the way, this RD here that we see can be, as we shall see, can be replaced by other spaces, and we're going to have a different type of point process. For example, I could immediately replace RD from complex D. Want to a complex. Well, let's see. A point process. So let's study. Oh, there's an element that is missing. So I told you. Told you we have this. We have F. We have P. And then, well, it's a my xn to some space S, let's call xn x dot here, or st, doesn't matter, the Borel on S, there's something missing. Because I'm coming from a probability space to a measurable space, and I can insert a probability here in a way that is consistent. You guys understand what the point I'm going to make? I depart from, I decide the object that I want to study, so I pick now a set that has a mean Normally I pick the Borel sigma algebra because it's the nice one to use. And this P here appears, and I would like to insert also a measure here, probability measure. How can I do that in a consistent way? That's called the distribution, if you will. If I pick P of A equals to P of X dot minus 1 of A, I have the distribution of my object, my random object. This is the, I push back that for all A belong to the Borel of S. And remember, this is measurable for a reason. So I can push back. The pre-image here is going to be measurable in that space, and that will give me a measure, a probability measure here, and I'll call it distribution. And normally, when you take probability courses, we really look at that space when the action is going on. We look at we study the distribution, the space, and we put the sigma algebra. Okay. So now let me introduce one set. It turns out to be the set we're gonna work with. I'm gonna pick a space E, and this space is again very nice in the sense of it's complete metric, complete separable space. So I can put a sigma algebra on it, and I'll call N E space of counting measures. On E. So what is a counting measure? Remember the definition, I pick an X that belongs to E. And let's recall the definition of a direct measure. So I start with omega, F, and P, and I map to my N, E. And I'll say this space, as long as E is nice, the space of counting measures, which I will tell what it is, it's nice. So it has a Borel sigma algebra. And please, nice is not a technical term. It's just my way to say complete, metrical, separable. You got the gist. So, and let A be a subset of E. What is the direct measure of A when considered a point X? You guys have seen that notation? So it's 1 if A belongs to E. If X belongs to A, and 0 otherwise. So I look at my X, which is a point on this E. I check whether this X is a subset of E. That is, until this function maps to 1. Otherwise, it maps to 0. So it checks if the point is there. A counting measure is a sum of countable sum of directs. Oh, sorry, N here. With one restriction, this xn has no accumulation points. So the picture is basically that I have my x1, my x2, x3, x4, x5. I told you this is a measure. So I pick, for example, a ball of radius 1 here. Let's say call this B. B. I measure B. And how many points do I see in B?
The other section
is 5. What? Sorry? Oh, 5. Thank you. Yeah, 4. Thank you. So how many points I see in B?
1. 1.
So I'm basically counting. So I have a bunch of points measured on the plane, R2. And this counting measure will count how many points there are in certain region, you know. That's basically it. That's why it's called a counting measure. What we cannot have is an accumulation point. What we cannot have is like x and like the points accumulating at some point. Why we cannot have that? Because we want that if the measure of E, so we have E, if E is bound, not the measure, if E is bounded, we want this counting measure to be finite. Okay, if we have an accumulation point, points approximating here, then the number here would be infinity. And that causes problems when you have when you want to do probability. You can do random measures, which are not counting measures, but it causes certain problems, especially if you want to minus infinity, deal with minus infinity. But I hope this picture makes clear why I call this the space of counting measures. So I start with the space E. Very nice space. Could be, for example, R2. I'll say, well, any collection of discrete subset of it this sequence xn discrete because it doesn't have an accumulation point, I can form a counting measure and then I can count the number of points that are in a certain region. So this ME accommodates all possible configurations of discrete subsets, but in this form of counting measure. Does that make sense? Okay. And that's the space in which the point process lives. Okay, so my point process that I'll call phi is a measurable function that goes from some omega f to n e Borel n e. and basically telling me, well, I'm going to pick a random counting measure. So I said, well, a stochastic process is a family of random variables. And I give, well, discrete, continuous. What is this family of random variables that I have here? What is that? What is the random variable that comes from the family of random variables that comes from this stochastic process? It's going to be phi of f. F belonging to the Borel of E. So for each Borel of E, so recall the picture, how those points appear randomly. Now I decided my F is going to be this one, and you can have 2 points, you can have 0 points, you can have, I don't know, it's random. So this is the family. And this family takes values in what space? RD. So what values this random variable can take? What? It's counting, so it's counting. So it should be, this random variable should be taking place on the natural numbers, union zero, right?
Yeah.
I can only count 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes. So they live, those random variables live on N, union zero. Yes? Okay. So, as I said, we are picking a random measure like that. But also, we can formalize this notion, and we can make it really rigorous if we... This is rigorous, but another way to define the stochastic process, the point process, is to consider... Given again a nice set and think of R or RD, your set, if you want, we have another set which is the set I call, let's call C here, C with a, it's the set of closed sets in E. It turns out that this set is also nice. It turns out that it has a sigma algebra. It turns out that I can replace my counting, if I restrict this to a subset of discrete discrete sets of E, another way to look at the point process is that instead of picking a random measure, I'm picking a discrete set of E randomly. So see, two different spaces, but they will lead to the same object. I have to restrict this C here to only pick discrete sets. And you know, the union of points is not necessarily a closed set, but if there are no accumulation points, it is. The space of closed sets, of all closed sets in E, is also, I can define the point process on it. Okay. So this is the general idea, and for the rest of the talk, I want to to give perhaps some more a potpourri of things that you can think of, you can imagine with this, with point process. First, let me give you an example of the point process, which is homogeneous. Or song and process, and well, what I have to define is the probability that phi b equals k for all b. B belonging to, let's say, homogeneous point song point process, and that my e is r. Or RD, B belonging to the Borel of RD, and K belong to N union 0. I have to define this probability. Once I define this probability, I have a point process. And in the case of the homogeneous Poisson point process, let me just check because I normally get the term alone. I was working with it. And I should have done my notes, but I don't. But the book will help me. Okay. Where is it? There you go, Poisson. Okay. It's E minus lambda measure of B, Lebesgue measure, I am on RD, lambda Lebesgue measure of B to the K divided by K factorial. And then you see why Poisson. This is a Poisson random variable with parameter lambda measure of B. Okay? And this is the most common point process. You have to prove that such point processes exist. And this is a task that I cannot complete in such a short talk, but I'm going to give you a glimpse of how it is constructed.
Here's the lambda to the k.
Oh, it's everything to the k, right?
Oh.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, everything's going to the k. That's correct. Okay, so how do I construct a Poisson? I pick, for example, a piece of the plane. I divide the plane into small squares. Of equal size. For each of those squares here, I'm going to toss a coin to decide whether there's going to be a point in the middle or not. Okay? And this coin is going to depend on the size of that square. So everybody here has the same chance of getting a point in the middle. So toss a coin here, 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 here. And I have a configuration. And what I'm going to do basically is one way to prove existence is that this process, it's if I have a compact set and it's just tossing coins, it's well defined. I'll make those squares smaller and smaller, and the probability of appearing points will be scaled in the correct way. So in the limit, I do have a post-on-point process. And how does this work? I look at the size of my compact set B, the measure. Then I I decide first how many points I'm going to have in that area using a Poisson random variable with parameter lambda area of B. And let's say I have the result is 10 points. And then I distribute those 10 points uniformly here. That's also a way to simulate. We simulate Poisson point processes that way. We first pick up how many points this region is going to have. This is a Poisson random variable. Could be 10, could be 100, could be 1. Notice this parameter, it's called intensity, will tell me, the larger the intensity, more likely I have to see more points. And I'm going to distribute them uniformly. That tells me that the Poisson point process absolutely has no repulsion, has completely independence of the fact that I have a point here will not interfere with the probability that I'll have a point on that region, will not interfere with it having a point on that region. So the Poisson is neutral with respect to repulsion and attraction. Okay? Okay. So let me see if I can say, I want to say a couple more things. Let me enumerate. So, attraction, motion, oscillation, and let me finally stop with a germ, a Boolean model. So why is this object it's of interest, and what kind of geometric structures we can have? So I said, I have the most famous. And then I expand this. Once I have independence on the Poisson, I can glue compact sets and take the union, and then I have the process in the whole plane. If I want to model some sort of repulsion. How can I do that? And let's say that the only thing I talked about was Poisson, right? So what is a way to model repulsion in a point process? And the answer is in my hands. This is the Poisson realization, so there's no repulsion or attraction. So what happens in this area doesn't affect what happens in this area. The answer is basically on my hand. If I want to create repulsion. Repulsion means that the points don't like to be together. Don't like to be close together. And some physical particles, like fermions, behave like that. This is here. It's literally here. Yes, it is. Erase, exactly. Yes. So one way to create repulsion in a model is basically, okay, I'll define a ball of radius r on each point. Imagine that they have the same radius, although they don't here for for purpose that is going to be. If those balls intersect, I'm going to erase both points. I created repulsion. And this is actually it's called hardcore Matern point process. You can make this very, very rigorously, this construction. The idea, and there is another way, so point processes now that will have other types of point processes that will behave, that will present proportions which is not of this kind. But I just want to give an idea that, you know, we want to model perhaps physical things, that particles, their position, but they don't like to be. And if I want attraction, well, the answer is that, okay, I can, again, put a ball around each point, and within that ball, throw another point process, superimpose another point process. The Poisson is also defined in a compact set, so it's defined on the ball, so I can. Perhaps this is unlucky, perhaps this. So I have those clusters. So I have the first Poisson, I have a ball around each point, and I throw another Poisson on top of that first Poisson. Again, you can make this extremely rigorous and extremely compatible with the theory. So it accommodates repulsion and attraction. That's one of the things that can be done. Other geometrical objects, the course I mentioned at the beginning, the course in which you see that is, well, it's called stochastic geometry, or the area. And you're going to see this type of geometry. And a lot of people ask me, well, why geometry? I say, particularly they ask, do you need differential geometry to go into that area? And the answer is no. I do not know anything about differential geometry. Corey can tell that I am an ignorant in differential geometry. There are very cool objects, geometric objects, that come from a Poisson. And let me tell you one which is a tessellation of the plane. Suppose I have points here. What I'm going to do is like, okay, look at the middle point. Let me use another color. Look at the middle point of this. And draw a line. Look at the middle point of this and draw a perpendicular line. Look at the middle point of this, draw a line. Point of this, draw a line. Point of this, draw a line. This guy here. So draw a line. And wherever they meet, they stop. So this guy should be something like that. My drawing is terrible. Okay. And by keep doing that, I have those cells
those points that belong to that, we call this Voronoi tessellation, the points that belong to that cell are the closest point on the plane to that point. So if a point is on the cell, and I, well, what is the closest point of the process? It is this one. So this point is closer to this point than to this point. And I can tessellate the whole plane like that. And I can study how this polygon behaves, how many sides an expectation has. If you think of a 3D, you have crystals and the shape of crystals. The original idea of thinking of those tessellations was exactly understanding the shape of crystals. And there is I'm not a physicist or anything, but something that matches with the data. It's kind of, physicists notice that galaxies tend to, if you imagine these crystals in 3D, they tend to almost have like a cluster of galaxies on the walls of what appears to be a point process. And the explanation they give is like, okay, when the Big Bang happened, and there's a lot of matter floating around, and if you think that matter attracts matter, you think that you pick the point that has basically no mass, or the least amount of mass or energy, and then matter would be repelled by these points. Not be repelled, be attracted by other matter, but if you think of the other way around, it's going to be repelled. So the matter was accumulating exactly on the kind of those walls that separate those initial points in which the level of mass was very, very low or zero or something like that. I don't know how they measure. So the shape of universe, some people claim, of at least an explanation for the galaxies to form those kind of walls and to have this crystal form, it's basically can be modeled by a Poisson, really Poisson, and I think it's cool. Anyway, it's a geometric object.
Could you please write the name of this tessellation?
Yes, war. No, let me just sure because my advisor is French, and I got a lot of criticism because of my poor French. but yes, I want to give you the precise Vor. I know how to say Voronoi. My advisor says. But you write that way. Voronoi cell. Voronoi tessellation. That's the cell, and the tessellation is off the plane.
And okay. The process is, I didn't see you do this, but each pair, you would draw the connector for all the pairs of points?
Yes. So and I will have that line, but that line would stop when yes. So you have really, and you can show that it really. You can show that for point process, there's always going to be a polygon. So you won't have, for general point processes, Boson for example, you won't have something that is unbounded. So that's. Under very general circumstances, it won't happen. You always have a polygon. Okay, tessellation. That's fine. Last thing that you can think about, which I think is nice, which might conclude the time that I have today. As suppose I have, again, boson point process, and now I'm gonna, on the center of each point, I'm gonna add a ball of random radius. So with a certain law. So it could be that this guy gets a little ball, this guy gets a big ball, big, this guy gets, suppose that the radius of the ball is given by an exponential with some rate mu. This guy gets a big ball, and this is the questions I can ask in a model like that is, well, if I push mu to be low, I'm gonna have the expected value of the radius in this case is 1 over mu. If the expected if the expected radius is big enough, what is going to happen is that I'm going to have a mu star such that if mu is bigger, mu star is, if mu is smaller than mu star, the other way around, if the expectation is too low, I don't have a connected component. A connected component will be like I can, whatever, I say two points are connected if the balls intersect. And I can, you know, have my random graph connecting them. An infinite connected component does not happen if expectation is very low, and if the expectation crosses a certain threshold, then with certain probability I can have an infinite connected component, and this is called Boolean percolation, which is very similar to percolation that people do in ZD. So this is an example of what kind of. And another thing, the last remark, I said, well, I'm only drawing points here on RD because it's easy to see, but a point in a space could be a line, could be a convex set. So remember, I mentioned the set of closed sets of a nice space is also a nice space. I can define a point process there. So I can have, for example, a point process in which the point is actually a line, and I can ask questions of how many intersect each other, or the point can be a polygon. So there's a lot of geometric objects that appear from that probabilistic construction of point processes. We only think of points, but well, if my set is a set of lines, then my point is going to be a line. And that, I hope, give you like a nice picture of what these point processes are. Of course, I'm just scratching the surface. And that's. Thank you. No questions, so that's perfect.
Thank you, speaker, again.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so there is a.